Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, welcome to you on this Friday. Thanks for joining us here at Derek Prince Legacy Radio. We are at the end of a marvelous week, and even some weeks before that, of teaching on the enemies we face. This week, Derek has been talking to us about the spirit of Antichrist. Now, remember, that's both a spirit and a spirit that influences groups of people, as well as a being who will eventually reveal himself in history. If you've missed any of these teachings, log on to DerekPrince.org. And you can listen to them as often as you'd like. Let's listen now as Derek teaches us about the spirit of Antichrist.
I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. There is a sort of false resurrection here. I don't know whether this person will be assassinated. He will apparently be dead, and he will return to life. What would have happened in America if John Kennedy had come back to life after his assassination? There wouldn't have been many people that would have not sold themselves to John Kennedy. Going on, verse 4. So they, that's the people of the earth, worship the dragon, who's that? Satan, who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? That's the fourth title, the beast, the wild beast. It's a word in Greek that means a wild creature, an animal of prey, such as a leopard or a lion or one of those. Now, in Revelation, there is a very deliberate contrast between two persons, the wild beast, who's Satan's ruler, and the lamb, who is God's ruler. And I think it's very important for all of us to bear this in mind in our spirit, that we do not cultivate the nature of the beast, but we have to cultivate the nature of the Lamb. You see, when the Holy Spirit descended at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus and looked for somebody to settle on, what nature did he look for? The Lamb, that's right. For John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, and on him the Holy Spirit descended. See, I think this is one of the great issues that concerns every one of us. Because in the world today, it's so competitive, it's so intense, people are so extreme and violent that it's pretty easy to let the nature of the beast begin to infiltrate us. But what God wants in us is the nature of the Lamb. Let's look at a little picture of the Lamb in Revelation 5. We could read quite a lot, but we'll probably not read too far. Beginning at verse 5. John had this vision of a scroll in the hand of God, and there was no one who was found worthy to open the scroll. And so John was weeping. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. This is dramatic, really, because John was looking for a lion. But what did he see? And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain. So the lion is a lamb. That's a deliberate contradiction. So God's appointed ruler doesn't have the nature of the beast. He has the nature of the Lamb. And he's highly exalted above all others because he laid down his life, because he humbled himself, because he went the way of meekness, humility, because he didn't resist his arresters and his persecutors. And I really believe that the church in these days is going to have to display the same nature. And I mean, I don't believe it's easy. I suggest to you this. It's not a popular suggestion. I think the church may go home the same way as her Lord, by the way of the cross. I think we'll conquer, as the hymn says, when we yield. God's strength will be made perfect in our weak. I believe that's a lesson we're going to have to learn. And there's a lot of teaching in the church today that talks about all we can do and all our power and all that faith can accomplish. But I believe it really is inflating the natural man, the fleshly nature, and that nature has to be crucified before we can enter into God's purpose for us. We could go on with the worship of the Lamb, but I think you can read that for yourself. Let's return now to Revelation 13 and just look at glimpse a few parts of this description. We've seen that they all worshipped the beast. And they were all convinced it was hopeless to make war with the beast. Now, who knows how that will be brought about? But suppose a world ruler came to power who accumulated all the nuclear weapons and no one else was allowed to have any. Well, nobody would make war with him. It would be suicide even to contemplate it. I'm not saying it'll happen, but what I'm trying to point out to you is the situation that's pictured here is could be very close. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in him. He is the open challenger of God. He's not a secret enemy. He shakes his fist in the face of Almighty God. And again, we have a kind of attitude like that very close to us today. And it was granted to him, by whom? I presume by God. It's a frightening thought. It was granted to him to make war with the saints. Who are the saints? I suppose that's us. I hope it's us. And yet, when I say I hope it's us, it's kind of ambiguous hope, isn't it? I mean, I want to be a saint, but do I want the beast to make war with me? Well, you may have to choose between two options. He was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. See, I want to instill into your thinking that Christianity is not all easy victory. In fact, I think in a sense, included in our faith is the willingness to be apparently overcome, defeated, but not really defeated.
More to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
The signs seem to be all around us. Could humanity soon face the end of time? In his book, Surviving the Last Days, Derek Prince explains the essential way to approaching the future and the role Jesus himself plays at the end of the age. These truths are so important, we want to send you a copy of Surviving the Last Days, absolutely free and postage paid. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, 888-737-0771. As you read Surviving the Last Days, you'll discover how to face the future without fear. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, 888-737-0771. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
You see, Jesus cares very little about the opinion of this world. Have you ever thought about that? What was his last public appearance? As a corpse on a cross. And he's never sought to correct that appearance. He's never reappeared except to people who believe in him. How much do we care about the opinion of the world? Do we care more than that? Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified to me and I to the world. All right, let's go on a little further. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's a dramatic statement. The whole human race will worship him, except those whom God has chosen for himself, whose names have been written in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world. Then we see this other very sinister person, whom we'll just glance at briefly here, the second beast. We're going on now in verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. He appeared to be a lamb, but he had really the voice of a dragon. I believe this is a religious person. Generally speaking, he's called the false prophet. And I believe that false religion is going to align itself with a false Messiah. And I suggest to you that this is already happening. For instance, in China, where the official three-self movement has aligned itself totally with the atheistic communist government and is the main persecutor of the real Christians. I think very much the same happened in Soviet Russia, where the head of the Russian Orthodox Church totally endorsed Stalin and is now having an embarrassing time deciding what to say about it. See, I believe that the political ruler will appreciate the importance of religion and will co-opt religion in its false form to support his power. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. We don't have time to go into that in detail, but notice the false trinity. See, the ancient church in the Middle Ages that used Latin used to say Diabolus Simius Dei, the devil is the ape of God. He really never comes up with anything totally new. All he can do is make a bad copy of what God has done. But there is a false trinity, see? Satan, the beast, and the false prophet. And they produce an image which in a sense is a false church, you see? All right, And let's go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 quickly in closing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we go back to that key verse, verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, the coming of the Lord, will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed. Now, as I said, the word falling away is the Greek word from which we get the English word apostasy. And its primary meaning is a deliberate rejection of revealed truth. I suggest to you that we are surrounded by apostasy in the world today. All through the centuries, there have been churchmen and church leaders who've been wicked, immoral, covetous, but they have not openly denied the great basic truths of the Christian faith. In fact, those truths have been the means they use to support their power. But in this century, starting, I think, probably in Germany, we have today church leaders, official representatives of the churches, who have denied all the great basic truths of the Christian faith. The deity of Jesus, his virgin birth, his atoning death, his physical resurrection, and his coming again. And many of them have occupied and do occupy positions of honor and authority in the professing Christian church. In Britain, as you know, I think two-thirds of the bishops of the Anglican Church have basically aligned themselves with those statements made originally by the Bishop of Durham. I'm not aiming at anybody. I'm simply pointing out this is a feature of this century, which I don't believe existed in any previous century. I believe that we are already confronted with the apostasy. And you see, the church is the bulwark against error. So Satan has to penetrate the church before he can break through with his error.
You know, what Derek is talking about from his day, which is a few decades ago in terms of the references he's making, very, very applicable to our own, almost torn from our headlines. There is a spirit that is opposed to Christ. It moves amongst groups of people. It will eventually take up residence in a single figure. All of this is important for us to know, and it's important for us to be free of that spirit ourselves. Well, that's all the time we have for now. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again on Monday as the legacy continues.
For more information about anything heard on today's program, give us a call at 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Visit us securely online at derekprince.org.